afternoon, Truth Wins teams. Good to be with you. Caring too much.
Caring too much.
Are you caring too much or you're not caring enough? Oh, well, let's see what we have to learn today about caring.
The proper way to care.
So let's start off with a prayer and we'll jump in our lesson.
Dear Heavenly Father, we seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. We thank you, Father, for your word and your spirit that comforts us, guides us, and directs us in everything we do. We ask this now in the name of Jesus, name of all names. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to jump right into our lesson. As you know, we've been studying kind of different healings that occurred during Jesus's time, how we can implement those in our lives and make them work for us, what we can learn from it to use so that when we pray correctly, we speak correctly, and we see miracles abound. Or are we caring too much? And let's see what's up.
It says in Luke 5:18 through 19, some men came carrying on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed, and they tried to bring him in and lay him down in front of Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and removed some tiles to make an opening and lowered him through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus.
Wow, would you have done that? Would you have done
Well, somebody turned on my house, I might have an attitude.
Well, you might have an attitude, but that wasn't it.
Turn the roof off my house. No, what are you doing?
Well, that's not what I was saying. Would you... Well, the men, obviously, they somehow had the man. They knew he'd been sick. He couldn't walk. They brought him on a stretcher, so they must have walked some distance to get to where Jesus was.
And, well, at least the crowd heard about it, and that's why they showed up.
Right, they knew Jesus was there. They knew he would be speaking or teaching or possibly doing more miracles. So they made a plan. But what I'm trying to do is say, we need to use our imagination. That was what we kind of talked on last week, was your imagination's really your hope you have and vision. So I'm thinking probably these men originally had a plan. We're going to get our friend on a stretcher, and we're going to carry him to where Jesus is, and we're going to walk in because everybody's going to park because they'll see we're doing this great thing, and we'll get in.
And they have great faith. They know he's going to get healed before they get there.
Right, but...
But they didn't care about the house.
Well, no.
Their cares were not on the house. Their cares was on the man getting healed.
Well, what I was trying to say really in this lesson is, do we sometimes go... Like, say, I remember one time someone said they were going to go here to Benny Hinn's ministry, and for some reason they couldn't make it to that one. I don't know if their car broke down or whatever, but they cared enough, and they just knew if they could get to one of his things, they would be healed. And they drove a longer distance to a farther away one, went in and did get healed. So this is kind of a lesson for us to know.
And they kept their healing.
Right, and it was a lesson.
Because they believed that they received, and when the devil tried to take it away from them, they go, no, 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 no. We're standing on the word of God. It is done.
Right, but they were persistent. So, like, I guess there's the difference between caring and worrying. Like, we didn't see in this story that the four men got to the door and they went, we heard all this. Oh, well, I guess we blew it. We didn't get up early enough. We should have gotten up at 5, or we should have gotten up at 4. If we'd gotten up earlier, we'd be inside, and now we're outside. So, wow, we blew it. We didn't hear all that from them. Instead, they had an imagination to figure out how. I don't know which of the four men said, let's go up on the roof.
They had a vision, and they weren't going to be stopped by the crowd. So they had an epiphany going, oh, well, we could go on the roof because nobody's on the roof. And back then, they used to have flat roofs and all that, and they were able to have a stairway to go up there. I'm sure that I remember seeing many renderings of those kind of houses in Israel. So they took the tiles off and dropped him down.
But not only were the men persistent, You have to think of the man on the stretcher. Like, that would have been kind of a, yeah, like a ride at Disneyland or somewhere, well, a roller coaster ride.
Did they drop him feet first or did they drop him body first, like flat, or did they drop him like feet first?
I
don't know. They tied his hands to the ropes. I'm sure he had like four ropes and they went down.
Right, but that shows why we need to have our imagination. We need to use it to visualize we're somewhere in the future and we look much better than we look right now.
And there was no attitude there in the scenario there. There was nobody saying, "Hey, can't tear my roof off."
Well, Jesus knew he could fix a roof, and he
that the roof was fixable.
So let's
and the man was fixable if he could get.
Well,
get
let's
the
see
anointing
what,
of God.
What continues in the story.
In Luke 5:20-21, when Jesus saw their active faith springing from confidence in him, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to consider and question the implication of what he had said, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blaspheme by claiming the rights and the privileges of God? Who can forgive sins, that is, remove guilt, nullify sin's penalty, and assign righteousness, except God alone?"
Right, and so there we see what we might encounter. Like, how could we encounter that? Well, I don't know if any of you have gone to pray for people who are sick, and people will say to you, "Well, it might be God's will or it might not be God's will." And you go, "No," and you can show them the scriptures.
Or was it not God's will that all be healed?
Right. Well, we know it is because your favorite verse, which is in Mark, says, "Lay hands on the sick," and what does it say about
them?
They
shall recover. It didn't say they might recover, or if God thinks it might recover, or if the devil's not too hard on you, you can get recovered.
Right, and also says if you're sick and you go to an elder, which Jesus would be considered a rabbi, like going to the elder, it says go to the elder and have him pray for you, and your sins will be forgiven. So when we do it, it even works. The sins are
right.
Forgiven.
We have the right. We're born again Christians. We speak the word over the person, and it's done.
Right, but it's not us forgiving the people. It's always God.
We're the tool. The conduit for God's anointing and word.
Right. So Jesus was the conduit for the Father in this case. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And they were like, "Oh, you can't do that." But obviously God said to Jesus, "Do it." Because Jesus only did what the Father said to do. So he's not going against the Father.
Right. And something else I suspected there was the crowd was expecting it. So there was a crowd faith there. They were all expecting the man to get healed. Everybody to get healed. Everybody that went before Jesus got healed at that case.
So let's see what happens in the story next.
It says in Luke 5:22-24, "But Jesus, knowing their hostile thoughts, answered them, 'Why are you questioning these things in my heart?'"
In your hearts.
"What is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man," the Messiah, "has authority and power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, 'I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home.'"
Right, so there we see. So you may encounter hostile people. I encountered someone who said to me, "Don't you know people who aren't healed?" And my answer the first time, a while back, was I was thinking, well, maybe. But then I thought about it and said, no, because Jesus died. It said you are healed in Isaiah. But when you get in the New Testament after Jesus died, it says you were healed.
Yeah, 1 Peter 2:24.
So what you have to do is receive it. It's not... Is everybody healed? Yes. It's just like salvation. In a sense, is everybody saved? Well, the salvation's for all mankind. Has everybody received their salvation? Well, that's up to them. Satan will try to keep everybody from getting any of the gifts God gives us, but they're there for everybody. And it's done because Jesus said on the cross,
we all have salvation. You just got to accept it. We all have healing. We all just have to accept it. We have all our needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, as the word says in Philippians 4:19. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Right. So this story is teaching us when we have naysayers, whichever before we prayed or after we prayed, what do we do? If we look in our Bible, we see what the Bible says, what God said, we believe it, and then it's so and we receive it. Right. So it's not me saying it, it's not Randy saying it, it's not your friend saying it, it's Jesus and the Father.
It's not some great evangelist saying it, it's Jesus.
Jesus says it and then it's true.
Jesus is the Word of God.
Let's go on and see what else we can learn today.
It says Luke 5:25-26. He immediately stood up before them, picked up his stretcher, and went home glorifying and praising God. They were all astonished, and they began glorifying God, and they were filled with reverential fear and kept saying, "We have seen wonderful and incredible things today. Glory to God."
Right, so
praise the whole. Everybody was expecting him to get healed, and it happened before their eyes. And they all praised God because God did it.
Right, and it was like they just overflowed with joy. It's like you can't cap it down. It's like, wow, this is just so amazing
right.
and good.
You're the joy. That's the faith. It's a spiritual type. It's a spiritual happiness. Is joy.
Right, so let's see what else we have. We have some more. Let's go to the good things.
It says in Romans 8:11, I like that. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who lives in you. And in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with great power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him.
Right, so that's really our calling. We are to go out in the world and have God with us, and then we pray, we get answers, and we help the oppressed. And you can be oppressed for many, many things can oppress you, but we'll go back to like our title. Were they caring too much? No, in this case, they were caring just right. If they had stopped when the door and the crowd was there, the whole crowd wouldn't have been giving glory to God, and it would have changed the whole mode. If Jesus had gotten offended, which he didn't, when the Pharisees were going, "Well, how can you do that? How can you do that?
Yeah, are you saying that you're the Messiah?"
And then if he'd been offended, because if he was in offense, then he wouldn't be in faith, and that would have changed it all. The man also played a part. It's like we're showing all the parts that are played. The four men that carried him there used their faith combined with the man on the stretcher. But when he said, "Your sins are forgiven, stand up," the man, what did he do?
He agreed and stood up.
Right, and so
he was joyful. He was his needs were met at the moment of time.
When he didn't say to Jesus, "Well, don't you know what's wrong with me? How could I possibly get up?" He didn't do that. He
was looking into the future.
Right,
and he saw the future happen before him.
Right, but there is a thing of caring too much. Like, you can have cares where you're concerned and you're in fear and worry.
Yeah.
And that kind of care is different than you care and you're going to take care of things.
Well, there is a scripture, 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you." He wants you to be a success, and he's caring, and you cast your cares. Like, if it was my house, they tore the roof off, I'd cast my cares on the Lord because I know, Lord, we're doing this for the benefit of the kingdom
of
God.
For the glory of God.
And the kingdom of God will make sure that my house is restored.
Right. So you just have to not care about things that God can take care of. And then you need to have an imagination and a plan, which these people obviously did. If you hear some noise, well, I don't know if she's going to come out.
Hollywood?
Hollywood's sleeping in here under my desk.
She's flipping and flopping.
Because she was kind of like the men. She didn't want to stay out. She goes, I want to be in there too. And so she's under the desk. She shows me how being persistent, you get to be where you want to be. Assuming God's directing your path, then it's all good. So these men were caring just right. They weren't caring too much or too little.
Well, the Holy Spirit was directing their path, I'm sure. And the Holy Spirit said, well, go on the roof. Right. Take care of business.
Right. So this I know is probably a kind of a quick lesson, but it's a good one. So what can I say you do? You have your imagination. They were somewhere where they'd heard about Jesus and they imagined if they could get the man to Jesus, he'd be healed. And then as part of their imagination, it's like, well, if that's what I'm imagining, how am I going to get him there? It's kind of like you planning for something. We're kind of giving you ways to get your prayers answered. Some of it is prayer and just faith, and some of it's actions, what you need to do to get there. So the men imagined, which is their hope. They hoped that if they got to Jesus and they had their faith and they combined it, that Jesus would heal the man. So they're hoping that now they have to do kind of some strategic planning. They got a bed or a cot to carry him on. And they obviously somehow took rope. I don't know why they happened to have rope, but maybe.
Well, it could have been leather or anything, something to hold him.
But they somehow had this rope, or they found the rope. So they had, when they got on the roof.
Or it was on the roof.
Well, I don't know. When they got there, there was rope.
Provision was there.
Could have been, but they needed to have the rope. So they planned that. Also, obviously one of them, although the room was totally full, one of them looked in and saw where Jesus is, because they ripped off the part of the roof right where Jesus is. Because when they lowered the man in, he was right in front of Jesus.
Jesus, all he did is, it happened in front of Jesus, the creator of the universe. It happened right in front of him.
Right.
And he's going, whoa, the faith here is impressive.
Well, so what I like to think of, this is my imagination going, because I like to imagine myself at the healing, what's happening. So I imagine myself one of the men on the roof. So you've ripped off the roof and you've lowered your friend in and you still can't get in the door because it's all full. So you're sitting, leaning over like this, looking down through the hole in the roof, and you hear what Jesus says, and then you see your friend
and Jesus
stand up
is
and
laying
walk.
Hands on the sick right in front of them.
Right, they're just sitting and watching.
When they're doing all this, Jesus is laying hands on the sick, and they're recovering right there.
No, but I'm talking about their friend. I'm doing the friends are on the roof. They lower the guy in. They can't get in the house still because it's full. So I envision myself, like I was saying, like over there.
Well, they're standing
leaning
on the rafters so they don't fall through the roof.
No, they're looking in through the hole.
Oh, yeah, they're watching it all.
And then they stand up and they're dancing on the roof saying,
yeah, they're going, hallelujah.
Our friend is healed and taking
hallelujah.
His bed out. So that's how I like to do my imagination, being there, because it gives me more faith. I can see it happening, because as you go through it, you put it in your mind, because we know, like with neuroplasticity, what we say and think is what becomes our reality. So as you visualize it, just because I know if you just read the Bible, I think reading the Bible is good. We're reading through we're kind of doing an interesting thing. We're reading the Bible it's on the Bible app, and it goes like it started in Genesis, it mixes in Psalms, and it does the New Testament. This is a Bible in a year. But I woke up the other day, and God said, read the Bible backwards. I go, what? And I fell back asleep, and 2 hours later, I woke up saying, read the Bible backwards. So I went to see if there was an app, a backward Bible app, which there isn't. And so I decided, well, okay, so I'm now reading the Bible in a year entirely, but I'm reading the book of Revelations, and we'll read the Bible. I think it's just God wants you to get all the perspectives, to imagine it, to get it in you, to not just, because if you just read it rotely, sometimes your mind fades off.
Yeah, it doesn't get into your spirit.
Right, you need to study it and look up the words in Strong's and see what it's saying and what is it telling you and how can I use it to change my life? That's what, or your friend's life, or your children's life, or even your dog's life. We've used the Bible and reading it and talking to pastors to have our dogs healed of things when we took it to the vet.
In the scripture, the pastor came up with, "My flock prospers." That's a scripture. We go, okay, we stand on my flock prospers. And he had a growth in his leg and all that.
It disappeared.
And then we took it to the
vet the next year.
Yeah, and he goes, "Well, it's gone."
And I thought the dog
was amazed. He was like blown away.
Right. He goes, I'd love to do an autopsy on the dog. And he goes, "But it's alive, so I can't." Yeah. So I go, "No, you can't." But that's the miracles. You just, as you begin to see it, anything you want, like visualize it. Think, I was in a class, as you know, I go to my class, it's kind of a Zoom, it's not really a class, it's a Zoom group. And the person teaching this week gave a really good thing. Think of 10 things you want to do that are kind of out of the box and big. And that was great. And who do you think is a great person in your life that could be a mentor or whatever, kind of went through it. And then the last thing was, well, now the top 10 things you think are so great are, instead of a number 10, are a number 2. And I went, what? Well, I'm thinking it's way out of the box. I always think way out of the box. You know, I'm thinking I can lay hands on the sick and they recover because I've already done that. And all these things that you've done and prayed for, you're thinking, well, after the call was over, I went, wow, I know what's out of the box I never even put on my top 10 list. Being translated. Like, I'm here and in New York.
You're going to do a fill-up, right?
Right, do a fill-up. So, so there we go. From, here.
From Gaza to up to Caesarea.
Okay, well, somebody's coming to say, you got to pick her up, though. I don't think she's in the camera.
Princess Hollywood.
Hey, she came through.
Well, she's...
Hey, Holly, you leaving? Oh, she's leaving.
She
came out of my desk cave from under my desk and... Oh, she's circling around again.
Well, that's her.
That's her. Hey, Holly, come here. Holly, come here.
Well.
She's not a well-trained actress.
She's her way or the highway.
She's going, this bed over here looks better because we have beds everywhere. So she goes, I think I'm just going to, I don't know.
Oh, there she is a little bit.
There she kind of is. Yeah, I can't go over farther. I'm at my desk. He was pushing. I'm going, you can't. Well, I guess she's waiting because next week she may have, next week she may have something big to tell you, show you. She's having a book written about her, and she's a little modest, so she's going to hide.
She's got her green ball this time.
Probably next time we'll give you a link to the book about Hollywood and her miracle life as a rescued dog, because she came from a rescue. And the vet, she's one of the other miracle dogs, kind of. The vet said, really, when she came back to the rescue, she was only 2 months old, I think, or maybe somewhere in between there. And they said, she should be put down. She'll never, they didn't. And my daughter and granddaughter took her home and took care of her, and then that's how we got her. My granddaughter had to go back to school, and she said, we can't send her back yet. She's not totally well yet. And so we had her, and now she's totally well. In fact, this week she just went to the vet, and they go, she's perfect. So God can do things for your pets. He can do things for you. He can do it for your children. He can find you a new job. He can find you a wife. He can get you a new car.
He can get you a husband, too.
He can get you a husband, too. And if you have a dream to write a book, he can show you how to do it. It's real simple. Write a page a day. Write a paragraph a day. Write a paragraph a week. Eventually, time will pass and you'll have a book, right? Yeah, you can do anything. Just have a plan and work a plan. So truth wins. And remember that you repent, because Jesus talked about your sins are forgiven when you get prayed for. You repent, you renew your mind. Once you get it in your heart, then you just receive what you know God's already done for you. And then you rejoice like they did at the end of the story. You give glory to God and you have your miracle. So we'll
walk as kings in life by Christ Jesus. Kings and priests, as it says in Revelations.
So as you know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
And we'll, I don't know where, it's not moving. There we go. I'm the coordinator.
She's the engineer.
I'm the engineer. I'm the one in many. I'm one in many. We'll see you next week. Love you. And we're looking forward. Put all your miracles, put all your imagination, and we can all pray for one another that everything good happens. Amen. Bye.
Amen.